Hey, everybody. Welcome in. Thanks for joining us. I'm James Adams. He's Skeeter Robinson. This is the My Fantasy Fix, Fantastic's My Fantasy Fix DFS Golf Podcast. And Skeeter, we have reached the end of the road for our DFS purposes. We'll certainly play in a week from now, but when the field trims down to 30, we had talked about how it's just becomes pretty difficult to set lineups and become unique when you're using 20% of the field in your lineup. Maybe it's more than that. I forget now, 6 out of 30, whatever.
Nope, you're right.
But we get a somewhat larger field this week with 50. So we're going to take a peek at it. And before we do that, of course, Skeeters, we're getting ready for the BMW. We got to take a look back at the St. X Fed, the FedEx St. Jude, getting football and golf crossed up, Skeeter, getting sponsors crossed up here. But one thing that isn't crossed up is Lucas Glover, who's won 2 in a row. We just had a little convo about it before we got started, but boy, Lucas Glover, he has gone from a guy who was just that random major champion to a guy who might end up having a really nice career. I said he has a chance to become a potential World Golf Hall of Famer if he finishes this thing off, wins the FedEx Cup. I'm not saying that puts him in it. I think he still needs more, but what I'm saying is he went from a guy who was like incredibly obscure to a guy who now has a chance to be in the forefront of the golf world and maybe make a Ryder Cup. So what a week, what a couple of weeks for Lucas Glover. And, I certainly enjoyed what I got to watch yesterday. I've been at the Fantasy Football Expo, but certainly enjoyed my time watching golf yesterday. And, I think we'll all agree. It's hard not to enjoy watching this run from Lucas Glover.
So again, let's go back 2 weeks ago. He literally has to finish first or second at the Wyndham just to make the playoffs. And if it wasn't for two horrible breaks from Russell Henley after the rain delay, one in a divot that, you know, shouldn't have never been there, and one was just a natural bad break, you hit the side of a hill in tall grass, that's going to happen, but it's still a bad break. He's two bad breaks away, he doesn't even make the playoffs. Now, he wins at Sedgefield. He wins at TPC Southwind. He's now guaranteed a trip to Atlanta. He's third. Yeah, I think it was he's third or fourth right now in the FedEx Cup standings.
I think fourth.
Fourth, yeah. Okay. That's right. Somebody must have done something to just Homa or what. But regardless, he's now top five going into the week. And he's now potentially on the Ryder Cup. All this for a guy who 2 weeks ago was probably trying to plan his fall schedule, and now all of a sudden his fall schedule might involve a trip to Rome and not as a spectator, but on the course.
A guy who was legitimately thinking about putting left-handed this summer.
What a story.
He's thinking about putting left-handed. I have a friend who does that. That's a little different, though. We're all weekend hacks, and it does work for him. He has a double-sided putter, and it's so weird to watch him putt left-handed after playing right-handed to get there. But to think that that's where his game was, and now here he is, it was fun. I've enjoyed taking him off the banned list and enjoyed his resurgence.
I have one other question, and we didn't talk about this pre-show. Let's say he gets like a top 10 this week, or even top 5, and he wins a tour championship. Does he win Player of the Year over Scheffler or Rahm?
Scheffler should probably still win it, I would think. Scheffler was just, even though he's fallen off at this point, I think Scheffler's been the more dominant player, and I would say Scheffler was Player of the Year. Though, you know, you could make the argument that Rahm had a better season.
Rahm did win a major. I know Scheffler won the fifth major.
Yeah, Scheffler and that run of top 12, I guess it was, that he was on. It was like Rahm had an up and down. So, I mean, in the end, you'd almost rather that in golf because of the winnings. But Scheffler was the player you were more frightened of on a week-to-week basis. And he was the player that you couldn't ignore in lineup setting a week-to-week basis. Rahm, there were weeks where you wanted to have him. There were weeks where you wanted nothing to do with him. That wasn't the case with Scheffler. Maybe I'm thinking too much about the DFS side versus just the player of the year side of things from, you know, like from the PGA, you know, thought process. But I would think Scheffler had that thing won, but it's certainly an interesting conversation.
Actually, you know what? Glover would be in contention if he had won the true, you know, if he had actually held on to win the true fifth major of the year, the John Deere Classic.
It was funny hearing him talk about how he won the John Deere. He was like, because you know, he talking about the journey and the putter. He's like, I just happened to hit all of those within the grips and somehow snuck all the putts in. I just thought what a funny way for him to talk about winning that tournament.
He's had a couple good lines.
Yeah, he's been on the ban list because every time I come around to him, then he sinks a lineup. But he's sinking putts now. And I wasn't going there, but then I said it. I'm like, where else am I going to go with this? And he's certainly – he's just a player. He's easy to root for.
Speaking of the ban list, by the way, you know, remember I sent you a text Thursday? Like, oh, look, the vampire in last place. Oops. He actually ended up being an okay play.
Well, you know, that was the beauty of – that is the sort of beauty of these events, as we'll also get this week. No cut, incredibly volatile. You don't have to have a great first round to end up having a good finish because there's no cut to make. So it's not like you have to have this great second round. You can just plod away for 3 days and find yourself back in a decent spot.
Exactly. Now, this week will be an interesting test because this will be unlike any – we think this will be unlike any course that we've seen all year, at least scoring-wise.
Well, shall we get into it?
Yep.
Medina Country Club?
No. Olympia Fields.
Olympia Fields, excuse me.
Wrong Chicago course.
My bad. But we were talking about this. The last time it was there was 2020. Is that right?
Yep.
And we had that epic finish. Skeeter, give us what we're looking for here.
All right, so this was last time they were at Olympia Fields was the BMW Championship 2020. Now, we are so used to seeing outside of a U.S. Open. We are so used to seeing double digits under par, potentially 20 under par, let alone in a playoff event. Like, it's been to Medina, it's been to Caves Valley, it's been to a couple other places where it's like minus 23 wins the BMW Championship. This course did not do that in 2020. It was a playoff between DJ and Rahm at minus 4. So this course is brutally tough. Rough will be heavy, so you're going to have to hit fairways. But yet there's still not, you know, bombers did do pretty well here. So you still have to have some sort of distance or at least be really good with your long iron. So those are areas I'm looking at. Ball striking will probably be the biggest one I'm looking at. I'm looking at like greens and regulation. Proximities, I'll look at scrambling, bogey avoidance a lot more than birdies. So that's kind of all I'm looking at. Again, top 50 in the FedEx Cup are here. Top 30 at the end of the weekend in the FedEx Cup standings making the East Lake and the Tour Championship, which making it, well, first of all, making it here gets you into all the signature events, as they're calling them, for next year. But making it to East Lake gets you a 2-year exemption, gets you into the Century, and it gets you into all the majors. So this is a massive week, especially for some of those guys in the bubble or the ones who maybe aren't already exempt. Like for Rory, Scheffler, Rahm, and maybe Lucas Glover at this point, and Homa, they're playing for position next week at East Lake where they start. But if you're like some of these guys like Eric Cole, the only remaining rookie, if you're like Adam Shank, Seamus Power, Nick Taylor, you're playing for the majors a year from now. So, line on the line. What a brutally tough course this is going to be. Again, if minus 4 won 3 years ago, I would expect some sort of number around there, maybe 5, 6, 7 under. We'll see. At least here in Illinois, we've had kind of a rainy August, so it has not been as hot as it was in like June and July, but it's still, that rough will still be pretty thick from what I've heard.
With only 50 players in the field, do you still try to angle in on course fits for players, or are you looking for guys that are just playing great right now since there's fewer people that you have to work around?
I think it'd be a combination there, you know, a combination of above. Like, Taylor Moore had not been playing great, and all of a sudden he shows up. Spieth hadn't kind of been in a little bit of a funk. He shows up. Who else had been playing? I'm trying to think who else from, like, last week. Cantlay had kind of been quiet. He shows up. Max Homa had been quiet. He shows up. So I still think their back class plays a role in here a little bit, but it's certainly form, course fit works. And by the way, Pat Mayo mentioned this, and he's got a good point. Notice who was at the top of the leaderboard. Like, you had last week, you had Taylor Moore, you had Fleetwood, a couple other names, and he was like, this just, you know, apparently there's some correlation between Valspar and St. Jude.
Okay. Certainly things to think about next year when we get back.
Right.
Maybe even things to think about Valspar next spring.
I'm gonna try to pull Valspar from this past year through results. Yeah, Adam Shank, I think, was kind of hanging around. Spieth played well. Wyndham Clark and Sam Burns, not so good. Nick Taylor, I think he was hanging around. JT Poston was good for a couple rounds, and he fell apart. I know because I had him. So
yeah, he was in my lineups too.
He had a great first day. I'm like, oh, hey, all right. He was my last add-on bet. I just threw out there, like, okay. And then, yeah, didn't work out so well. So, you know, just maybe something to kind of think about. But as far as this week goes, for everybody who was like, okay, the U.S. Open played way too easy, you might get your wish this week.
This is your U.S. Open, but there's only 50 golfers, and we shall see. Skeeter, anything else before we get into the field?
I don't think so, as you mentioned. Again, based on your playing style, I wouldn't go too crazy on lineups, and I'd probably avoid, unless you're playing 150, I'd probably avoid the 150 tournaments, even avoiding the 20, potentially 18 max, depending how you want to style it, because, again, there's only certain limited combinations that you can have. Not as bad as next week, but even here, this is certainly one. And I kind of think if you're one who plays like DFS Live, you'd probably be a slight advantage because you're used to playing 48, 50 person fields.
Dang, I've only played one lineup. Maybe I should have been doing that all year long. I forget why I played a Live golf lineup, but I did play one.
They weren't nearby you, were they?
No, never close enough that I would like went to the tournament or knew anything about the course. No, I played a Live lineup 1 week just because I was bored and had 5 minutes to kill and set a lineup because who knows? Maybe I had a free ticket. Who knows, Skeeter?
That's all fair. Also, by the way, I don't know if we haven't even mentioned this yet. We're back to Open Championship pricing here with some names in the fives. Like,
yeah. Definitely going to get interesting, yeah, because there are five guys in the 500 or 5,000. So, you know, I don't know if we're targeting them, but we will certainly find out.
I would have interest in one of the fives, but we'll combine them with the sixes.
We ready to get into the 10K?
Yep.
Rory's up top at 12-1. Scheffler's 11-6. John Rahm 11-2. Cantlay 10-5. Hovland 10-3. Xander 10-1. Spieth 10K even. Skeeter, where are you going here?
I mean, I can tell you where I'm going for one and done, because this has been my strategy the entire time. It's Rahm, the defending champion here, but even short-term models, he's just not rating out great. He's having issues with fairways gain and putting, which is, I mean, you probably could hide a putter here, but not great. So I don't know if I'd play him in one and done, and that's it. I'm probably going to Patrick Cantlay.
I get it.
He kind of showed up, I mean, look, can you fit Scotty or Rory into a lineup? Absolutely. But Cantlay just opens up a few more options in that mid-tier. And, you know, we've seen him play tough courses. He's won the BMW Championship the past 2 years at Caves Valley and Medina. So, I don't know. Apparently, he just loves the BMW, or maybe just loves the second playoff event. I don't know. Rates out decently well across most things. Proximity from 200-plus would be a slight issue, but at 10-5, that's not a bad way to start a lineup, and he, you know, he kind of snuck out of nowhere last week to make the playoff. He was 5 back to begin the day, I believe. So, you know, we've seen Cantlay do this before, and same with, you know, Rory next week at Eastlake. I mean, it could be Rory, Cantlay, and figure it out from there.
I am with you on Cantlay. I actually have him slated as my favorite, but you gave all the reasons, and I'm right there with you. I also have a very close second favorite, and it's Victor Hovland. He wasn't, in the end, in contention yesterday, but he was giving himself a chance. He had a chance to do that Patrick Cantlay run yesterday morning, and he was 13th at the Open before 13th here at the FedEx St. Jude. So what you said about Cantlay getting other players in with the pricing, Hovland fits the same mold. It's the next player down at 10-3.
You know what? That's actually a good point, because I'm looking at, you know, stat models across short and long term, and Hovland rates out better than Cantlay in every single one except 100 rounds. It's not by much, but he rates out better, so that's a good pick.
Who else you like up here?
I mean, Rory does make sense. Like, over the past 12 rounds, he's number one in my model. That includes ball striking, distance, approach, top five greens, regulation, par fours from 450 to 500, proximity 200+, and even second birdies are better. He's 11th in bogey avoidance, 46th in scrambling. That is the only, that would be a slight concern here.
Any love for one Jordan Spieth after we saw him find himself in contention again last week?
I don't think so. Again, he just kind of, last week he kind of felt like there's a little bit of scrambling magic on him, and I'm just not sure that's where I want to go.
I'm with you. Yeah, I think it's Cantlay and it's Hovland for me. I could get some interest in Rory as well. It's a price to pay, though. Who are you fading?
It's probably Spieth. Like, I don't really have interest in Xander either, but Xander does seem, feel like he fits the course well, whereas Spieth, not so much.
Scheffler's run has been too incredible. I realize that a 23rd and a 31st aren't exactly the biggest blip in the road for some people, but it's a massive step from what he's been doing. I also had him in a couple lineups last week. Actually, I had him in one. I had Rahm in two. I'm fading Scheffler. I'm not paying up this week for him.
I get it. He does feel like he's cooled off a little bit. Let me look over the... Yeah, okay, yes. I mean, now look, he's maybe we're just holding him to the highest of standards, but...
I am, but they're also, I'm asking for the highest price here, too, second highest.
Right, yeah, his off-the-tee approach still gained, but nowhere near where he had been. Around the green putting, he lost, not that putting's anything new, so... Yeah, it's one of those that when you're the second highest price, you kind of got to nitpick a little bit, and that's where I think Scheffler kind of falls a victim in that regard.
We ready to go 9K?
Yep.
Morikawa's 98, Fleetwood 97, Homa 95, Matsuyama 94, M 93, Fowler 92, the Glover 91, and Tyrrell Hatton 9K even. Skeeter, who are you going with?
I mean, let's just... We keep talking about guys who are going to win eventually. Well, I mean, thank goodness he's won six times in Europe, because good grief. How, he's got so close. Like, Tommy Fleetwood just continues to put up top 10, top 5 performances. His putter was terrible yesterday. Like, yeah, I mean, he missed a few shorties. Like, God, this is Sunday Fleetwood all over again. And it was. But good grief, he still rates out so well everything else. Fourth in ball striking, seventh in fairways, third in putting, which is surprising, just not Sunday putting, apparently. Fourth in birdies, third in bogeys. He's not afraid of a tough course. We've seen him play well at U.S. Opens. We've seen him play well at tougher Opens. Like, 9,700 is probably a little pricey on Fleetwood, but he's just playing so well. And, hey, 9,700, I don't have to get a win from him, thank goodness.
I'm right there with you on Tommy. He's my number two. I'll make Max Homa my number one. He has found himself back in form. Now, I know we're not in the fall swing, but we're not so far from it. He won in the fall swing last year, so I'm not going to act like he can't win all times a year. He has won outside of California, so we're going to say he can win elsewhere. He was sixth last week. He was 10th at the Open, 12th at the Scottish. So after a lull in the summer, he's shown three really good tournaments in a row. Give me Max Homa at 9,500. I'll jump back in.
Okay. I will jump back into a guy who was frustrating last week, but he eventually kind of got there, struggled for like the first couple days, and kind of didn't do much on Saturday. Had a nice Sunday, even despite the fact I bet against him on Sunday and won with Brandon Wu. That's Tyrrell Hatton at 9K. Like, he lost strokes putting and around the green, which is very rare for him. His irons were not overly great, but he still rates out well, and Hatton has just played so well all year. And we know that he likes tough courses not named Augusta. Like, you know, I don't think Hatton's ever going to win at Augusta. I don't think that's a I don't think those two get along, but
he hasn't paid his proper homage. That's a fact.
No, he has done some bashing of it, but no, Hatton 9K, like, I'll take the discount. Like, he wasn't as, I mean, he was not great last week, but he was not as bad. And, you know, the putter wasn't there, and If you're going to tell me there's a winning score minus 5 or minus 6, I think he's won that with that API a few years ago. So give me some Hatton.
I don't know that I'm going to get there.
Okay.
I'm with you on Tommy. I love Hatton. This is bizarro world. Am I going to play Lucas Glover instead of Tyrrell Hatton? Is he going to be popular finally?
Let's take a look.
Because he's 9,100. And dude, like, all right, we talked about the two consecutive wins, and he missed the cut before that. And I understand what the Barbasol is. Okay, I do live in Kentucky. But he finished 5th at Barbasol, 6th at John Deere, 4th at Rocket Mortgage. In his last 6 events, outside of the missed cut, it's 5 top 6s.
All right, so I'm looking at ownership again. We're doing this on Monday night on Fantasy National, so we don't know. You know, things will change as people talk, whatever. Here, 9K and above, here are the 3 lowest owned, projected owned on a Monday night. Spieth.
Okay.
Should not be a shocker. Sung JM at 9,300. Lucas Glover.
Okay, so let's change this then. Lucas Glover is my favorite, even though I like Max Homa a lot. And let's make Sung JM my second, because Sung JM is showing some form. He was 20th at the Open, missed the 3M, but he was 14th at Wyndham and 6th at FedEx. St. Jude, low ownership. Sung JM is right there on my radar too. So, I mean, let's be honest. I like Homa and I like Fleetwood in this range too. And I may get to Ricky Fowler. I don't know. I probably don't. But Glover and M are very enticing as well, man.
Yeah, I just can't get to Sung JM quite yet. I like seeing others around here. By the way, early on a Monday night, Rory is like going to push 30% ownership. Cantlay Hovland around 25, and then Rom at 20. People are going to use one of these top 5 guys. Some might even try to GM 2 in or start them in Fleetwood. So kind of a thing to think about. But you throw Glover into a lineup and all of a sudden you might be a little bit unique. Or when we get there, the 8s, because there's not much in the 8s.
Who you fading in the 9s?
Hideki.
Okay.
Like, I know he played well here, or at least he did for a round. Cost me a first round later. But he's still just kind of just hanging around and just not really what I want to go to.
I'm not against Sadecki there. I understand what you're saying. He still hasn't put 4 rounds together, and that was the argument last week, and I used him, and it was okay. But I'm actually going to fade Morikawa. I mean, he played good last week, frankly, 10 under, T13. Morikawa's had 2 missed cuts here in the last 4 events, and frankly, while he offers that upside, I mean, I know he does, I like Tommy Fleetwood and Homa a ton better at the price below him.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Let's go to the 8Ks. 8,900. Corey Connors, Wyndham Clark's 88. Tom Kim's 87. Jason Day, 86. Cam Young, 85. Sam Burns, 84. Finau's 83. Henley, 82. Harmon, 81. Fitzpatrick, 8K even. Skeeter, what are you doing in 8K?
I don't know if I end up here, because again, I'm between 1 or 3 lineups. I don't know what I'll end up doing. If it's 1 lineup, I don't think I end up in the 8s. Corey Connors does interest me. He was quiet last week, but he's a guy who plays well. He's 11th in the par 4s from 450 to 500. He's 11th in that proximity from 175 to 200. Bogey avoidance recently not the best. So he's not going to pop, but I believe, if I remember right, he was okay here 3 years ago, or did he? Or maybe he didn't play here. I thought he did. Let me look this up. Jim Herman played here 3 years ago. Your guy.
Well, he is my guy. I wish I had a chance to play him this week, but I imagine he's about 100 places below what you needed to be to get here.
Yeah.
He might be worse. I honestly don't know.
Tiger played here. He was 11 over.
That'll get you. I've done that on 9 holes before in my league. I was proud, actually.
Well, yeah. Yeah, you and I shooting 47, like, you know, that's not terrible.
Yeah, we hand in the card with a smile.
Well, if I'm smiling, but I'm like, that's about normal. I can't pull up. It's not popping up for me. But no, Corey Connors at least has long enough. And again, he contended the PGA. Did he do anything at the U.S. Open? I don't remember that.
He missed the cut, plus four.
Okay, well, that's not going to help my argument. 2020. He was 30. Oh, okay. Yeah, again, Pat Mayo mentioned this one. 33rd here 3 years ago. Here were his stats. Plus 2.5 off the tee. Plus 3.5 approach. Plus 2.1 around the green. Minus 7.8 putting.
I figured we were going to have to get somewhere back near neutral.
Now, Corey Connors is never going to be confused with a good putter. But even for him, 7.8 has been an outlier. He's actually been putting a little bit better this year. So I think for that reason alone, I'm willing to give him a chance. And especially if I'm playing three lineups and nobody's on him, like, might not be a bad move.
I'll go with Russell Henley.
Yep, that was my other one.
8,200. He was sixth last week, second at Wyndham. I mean, I'm looking at Russell Henley. Missed cut at the Open. Okay. 35th at John Deere. I'd rather see better than that. But he'd been playing pretty good before that, too. So this little run he's on here the last two tournaments, we've seen a precursor for it. Three straight top 20s when you go to the Travelers, the U.S. Open, and the Memorial. Actually, four, excuse me. Make that with Charles Schwab as well. So, and I know that's going back quite a ways. But Russell Henley had a good summer, had a blip on the radar, and now we're seeing it again. I'm going to ride with Russell Henley here at 82 in a tier that I'm kind of with you. I don't know that I'm going to load up on, but Henley's the guy.
And could have won at Wyndham if it wasn't for just a couple of horrible breaks.
Four bounces, yeah.
That's all going? I have in the positive for this tier.
No number two?
I mean, no, Henley's my two.
Okay, that's fair. And I mean, I honestly don't know if I have a number two. Like, I'm not going to Tony Finau.
I'm not either, but he's not even my fade.
He has a good course fit, right?
Let's see.
I thought Finau was a good course fit, although just not
maybe
a player.
Maybe in the past, he's not hitting fairways very well right now.
Yeah, well, he's not doing much right now, I guess. Right. I don't really have a number two. I'm trying to find one between Burns and Harmon and Fitzpatrick, but the reality is I don't have one.
Yeah, my fave's Jason Day. Talk about a guy who's not done much since he won. He was second in the Open. But other than that, just not there. And he's actually done last in this field over the past 12 rounds in approach. Not something you really want at Olympia Fields.
I'm actually looking at Wyndham Clark as my fade here. I'm not going to say that I couldn't imagine him being good here. He won the U.S. Open, obviously in a different type of scenario. But it hasn't been great since then. So I'm gonna pass on Wyndham Clark here.
Yeah, you don't need to remind me. Here's my one and done last week.
I'm sorry about that.
Shall
we go to the 7Ks?
Yes.
It's actually not as many as normal, Skeeter, but I'll just we'll let you look at the rest of the field as we rip through them. Who in the 7Ks in a smaller grouping than we're used to stands out to you?
I'm not going to steal your guy first. The guy who I thought I bet first round leader here 3 years ago was Tyler Duncan. I thought it was Cam Davis, but Cam Davis does kind of fit well. Like, total driving, he's got to be up there. He's average in fairways gained. He's 15th in distance. He's number one in this par four from 450 to 500. He's fifth in bogey avoidance, 12th in scrambling, like 13th ball striking. Those are all stats I don't mind. At 7,800, that's not a horrible price for Cam Davis, who has at least started to show some life, and I believe he grinded just to get here. So
I don't know who my guy is. Is Keegan my guy?
I always assume that you're a Keegan guy.
I am a Keegan guy, but I'm not so sure that I'm in on him here, but maybe I should be.
I mean, tough, difficult courses. Doesn't it feel like Keegan Bradley?
Yeah, and I know you said you can hide putting here, and that sounds like Keegan Bradley.
I mean, over the past 12 rounds, he's fourth in approach, ninth in approximate from 200+. Bogey avoidance is a little bit of an issue, so that could be, you know, not great in DraftKings scoring. Average in fairways gained, but decent distance, decent greens. Putter's actually not been terrible. Good at the proximity ranges. Not the best scrambler, so again, that'll be a concern. But 7,100, you know, who else has top 10 upside? I guess they all do at some point, but.
In this limited field, it's easier to make a case for anybody to be in the top 20% of the field.
Like, he's at least won in the past 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
He's straight enough. Like, another good one that probably total driving would be there and long enough that he could contend.
All right. We'll make Keegan my number two because I can't just not have my guy in there. What about Emiliano Grillo? I think that's where I'm going, Skeeter. 7,400. He's playing good. I'm not expecting him to win, but much like you pointed out with Keegan, he has at least won this year. Missed the cut at John Deere, but beyond that, it's been three top 20s or four top 20s in the last five tournaments.
Good greens, good proximity from 175 to 200. Good birdies are better, so I guess that concerns me. Bogey avoidance isn't bad. Not for me, but I don't think he's terrible.
Who else do you like?
Those are the two names I have interest in, and neither you and I mentioned the most popular in this range. It's going to be Benny On.
Who I like as well. You can hide a putter there.
I mean, he has been playing well.
He has been playing pretty well, yeah. Although he's not one on tour, so I guess if you're looking for that upside in a 50-man tournament, you might lose that a little bit with him.
I can see that.
But yeah, Benny On was certainly my... Benny On and Grillo, and I will certainly add Keegan because, well, I do like Keegan.
That's fair.
Who are you fading here?
It's going to be Seth Straka. You know, after he won John Deere and second in the Open, missed cuts, bad at 3M, not bad, but not great, and was just not good last week at St. Jude. He lost 5.5 strokes putting, but his irons have seemingly cooled off a little bit, so... Maybe that little mini run was good for Seth, but I'm not going to play him here.
I mean, this one's an easy one for me. Even if he did end up rebounding from an opening 76 and shooting a 61 on Saturday, I'll fade the Vampire. He missed two cuts before that. And frankly, like that round on Saturdays is inspiring, but he's plus one his other three rounds.
Yeah.
So I'll fade the Vampire, Justin Rose. That's a shocker to everyone I know.
So there you go. That means start your lineups, Lucas Glover, Justin Rose.
Well, no, Glover's in my lineup.
Okay.
All right, Skeeter. 6Ks, 5Ks. You want to put them all together, and that certainly is fine when you consider how small this field is. But we do go all the way down to 5,500 with Patrick Rogers as the last price player. Are you squeezing him into your lineup or anyone above him?
Above him, yes. I'm actually – it's the $6,200 to $5,900 range that I like. Adam Svensson keeps playing okay, especially at his price. Like, fifth approximately from 175 to 200, sixth in the par fours, 10th in ball striking. Outside the putter, he's, and maybe not the best distance guy, he's been playing decently. He rates out decently well here for somebody at 6,200, so over the past 12 rounds. So he will be one I mention. And you know what? Oh, Canada, if I'm going to play Corey Connors and Adam Svensson, then maybe I'll just... go to Nick Taylor, too, who does read out pretty well. He's not going... distance is not his thing. But everything else, he's okay. Bogey avoidance actually pretty bad. Scrambling pretty bad, but good approach. Good fairway finder. Decent putter. Decent in the proximity ranges. Like, at 5,900, he opens up quite a bit. I'm willing to take a chance on that and hope that he's able to limit some of the bogeys.
Andrew Putnam will remain on my radar. I mean, I understand now we're not into the missed cut world, but he hasn't missed a cut since the PGA Championship in mid-May. So he's been performing really well in cut events. He was 24th a week ago. Honestly, I'll take a 24th at 6,800 from Andrew Putnam. So he's on my radar. Denny McCarthy's probably on my radar. The play has not been good. There's no other way around it. But I mean, this is a difficult course that would remind me of the Memorial maybe a little bit. I'm trying too hard there to use a guy that I like to use.
He does perform best on difficult courses, so that's maybe your angle there. But yeah, his past three, oof, boy.
It's not been good. That Ryder Cup dream for Denny McCarthy might be fading, although he's still a younger guy, youngish.
Yeah.
Adam Shank is another player I might take a chance at. It's been up and down. The Open and the Wyndham weren't very good, but he's got three top tens in his last five events. Just the problem is the other two were a cut and a 64th, so it's kind of an all or none. I'm not sure if Adam Schenck feels like a guy I love at this course, but at this price at 6,500, I'll probably take a chance if I'm trying to jam in all those 9K guys that I love.
He looks like he'll be the most popular in the sixes.
Well, that's why I just pair him with Lucas Glover, and I'm all good.
That's right.
anything else here? Kurt Kitayama at 56, nothing?
Yeah. I love Kitayama, but no. I mean, he did win API, so he knows how to play a tough course, but not quite there for me. Yeah, there's one other name who at least, top 20 over the past 12 rounds or shorter. Maybe it's because he won in that range, but Lee Hodges doesn't do anything great. Not great from proximity from 200 plus, or not great at bogey avoidance. But everything else, he's kind of hanging around. Second putting, 13th par 4, 18th scrambling, 10th or birdies or better. Maybe not the course I'm thinking of here, but again, at 6,100, if he's just average and he can make birdies, I'll take that from a DraftKings scoring standpoint.
Interesting play. 12th at the Memorial, 25th at the Canadian, 12th at the Scottish, 1 to 3M. I mean, I'm gleaming over the missed cuts, which weren't good, but there's some real good results for Lee Hodges there that make me think at 6,100, like, you know, I'm trying to make the case that at 5,600, Kitayama would play because he's got power and, you know, he's not going to miss the cut. But maybe Lee Hodges moving up if you've got the extra 500 is the answer, because he's certainly playing a lot better lately.
Yeah, I mean, Kitayama just he's made three cuts in a row, but best finish 52nd. Like, just not really what I want to go into.
I get you. Skeeter, anything? Is there a player in this range that you absolutely would not use that you're fading?
Well, yeah, it's Patrick Rogers, because I never get him right.
He's so cheap, though.
He is, and he's quote unquote the most popular of the fives, but that's like 7%.
Do you think this is a good Brendan Todd course?
Used him last week. That Sunday.
I would guess this is not a Brendan Todd course.
I mean, the fairways gain will be good, but putter reliance. The proximities worry me.
That's what I figured. It might be just a little bit too long for him. I'm going to fade Brendan Todd this week, who's a player I've come around to using, and I did use him last week too, actually, because I thought last week was a good course fit for him. I will avoid him this week.
That's fair.
Skeeter, that is the end of the DraftKings conversation for the season, huh?
It is.
Well, I think we agree we're still probably going to play lineups next week, even if it's more like buying lottery tickets. It's like buying pull-offs or something at the bar, not even lottery tickets, because they're a little bit longer odds. We're going to play some in the fall, but that's that, huh?
It is, yeah. For me, you've already won our league, so you don't even have that to really sweat or worry about. I still have one and done.
Would you believe I'm still inside the top 3,000, Skeeter?
Oh, nice. Who did you use last week?
I don't know how nice that is. I'm in 2807. Who did I use? I used Rahm last week, actually. Oof. No, that's a lie. I used Ricky Fowler last week. I used Rahm. I already told you 20% or two of my four lineups in DraftKings. I used Ricky, and I can already tell you who I've got penciled in, Skeeter.
Who?
Lucas Glover.
Yes. Why not?
Absolutely. Why not? And it's funny. I'm looking at the ownership availability. He's 96% available. I wonder how heavily he'll be used, because nobody above him in the odds is more than 20% available. That's a lie. Tommy's 25 and Homa's 25. So is Feet at 25. So whatever.
Tommy's going to be popular, I think. I mean, like, Rory's at 8. Scheffler's at 8. Cantlay's 7. Rahm 9. Like, I'm assuming you've got to use these guys. Like, I'm going to be very curious to see how much of the 9% Rahm don't use Rahm that still could use him.
I agree. Like, you would certainly think that these names at the top, I mean, maybe not Hovland, but the four up top, you would think they're gone. They should all be at 0% availability or very close come Friday.
Now, I guess my only hope here is that you probably had to use most of these guys to get where you're at. Like, for me, Rory, I use him at API, which He finished second there. Elevated event, had no problem with that. I used Scheffler, the players he won. That's the biggest price of the year. Rahm's already won a couple times. So, yeah, this will be... I'm really interested to see where things kind of fall here, what people do. And, you know, somebody's gonna use, like, Bennion or Lucas Glover trying to find some unique way to be different. Keegan, I could see getting a little bit of attention. Like, these guys that just kind of... People are at some point like, you know what? Why don't I just go something completely off the board here? Homa, off last week. I could see him getting some steam. Hovland, like, this will be a very intriguing, Thursday morning, looking at who played who. Will be very interesting to see.
Oh, yeah. Clicking on that leaderboard and looking to see the percentages is definitely, it's something I enjoy doing just kind of randomly throughout the week, you know, every week. But this week, certainly with people you think had an end game plan like you did that, you know, I mean, looks like it's going to work out at least to a cashing position. Knocking on wood, not trying
to. I'm pretty sure I'm cat.
I think you are, too, especially since you are getting guaranteed money from Rahm. Well, man, I'm certainly looking forward to seeing where you finish here because it's been a fun ride for One and Done. My team has been poop all year, but I have enjoyed following yours. So I hope that the pick you made for this week many months ago pays off.
I mean, I do too, but again, if not, I'm okay with it. Like, this was kind of a semi-game theory angle, especially once he won. What did he? Did he win Riviera?
Homa lost to who in Rev? Was it Rahm?
I thought Rahm had an elevated in there somewhere.
You might be right. I mean, the Masters, I know that's not right. You might. I don't remember who won Rev, actually.
That, so let's see here. Yeah, he won at Riviera. He won the Tournament of Champions, which we don't pick. Yeah, the American Express. Yeah, so once he did that, I can only use him in elevated events as that strategy. And again, my theory here, even though I've seen winner gets $3.6 million, which I find hard to believe that they're flattening the payouts on this. I'm hoping maybe that it's a little bit different. But if not, this, you know, if he wins here, it's the same as him winning at the Riv. So,
yeah.
You know, that's kind of my strategy behind it. Let's see now. I'm gonna look real quick. If I get 3.6, it gets me to $21 million. Now again, I realize that everybody ahead of me is going to...
They're going to gain something.
Right. But let's just say, for whatever reason, everybody ahead of me did nothing. I think the best I could do is like 37th.
Okay, that would be fun.
I mean, I'm probably not going to get to the four-digit number because that'd be top 40... Top 42 gets a K, so that's not happening. But I think I'd have a shot at the top 100, which would be great.
I would love to see it, my man.
100 gets me $700.
Hey, I've never turned down 7X in my life.
No, well, 125, so it's not quite. Was it 1 or 125?
It was 125 that he was at, but if you really factor in all the bets I made, I just certainly didn't profit that way. Like, it's fair to point out that I had about $125 in bets on the open, so it was more like a 10-to-1 profit than it was a 125-to-1 profit.
Yeah, true.
But it was still a nice lick, and I was still happy to add it to my bank.
Like, I'm winning 400 right now, so as long as I don't drop into the 200s, I think I lose $50. But I still have progress to move up a couple $100. Like, you know, it's still nice for a $125 buy-in. It gets us, what, 28 or how many ever weeks that this stupid thing it was. It's still pretty fun.
It's provided its value for you. That's a fact.
Absolutely.
Hell, it's even provided some value for me.
And content for us.
Skeeter, anything else before we put a bow on it?
I don't think so. Again, we're going to take the fall off. We'll be back in the winter. I don't know. James and I have to figure out, you know, my schedule is going to get busier. We might not do every single week, but we're going to try to at least hit most of the events and certainly most of the big events. So maybe if we're not here for the American Express, which, of course, is a personal favorite of mine, or Honda or something like that, you know.
Which is a personal favorite of mine.
Because Mackenzie Hughes?
Just because I love the par five finish. I like the there's water everywhere. Like, it's right in the time of year where I'm doing absolutely nothing, and so I just stare at golf. Like, I like the course, too. It's on my bucket list of tournaments to go to. Because I believe I would be like, there wouldn't be as many people to, and I'd be able to move around freely and enjoy myself without a giant crowd, i.e., you know, circling 18 at Memorial this past May. Actually, that was June. It was in June, but you get the idea. Couldn't even see Hovland and McCarthy putting.
Oh, yeah. And I'm in Fort Lauderdale without, you know, just kind of following the playoff on my phone with, you know, having Hovland at 28-1 because I had live bet him and couldn't hedge to bet McCarthy. And I know you had McCarthy, so I was like, it's like when Hovland when I was happy for me, it was like, poor James.
This is a lot easier to talk about now that Brian Harman won the Open. Because yeah. I had McCarthy at 125-1 at the Memorial, too.
I know, I felt bad for you. Like, oh, that was so close, and he'd been so good, too, that bogey on 18. Like, ugh.
And I was walking with his family. Like, it was just the awe. It was, you know what? I got my money's worth, win or lose, that day. And probably better that I cashed a different ticket. So I got my money's worth on multiple occasions.
Well, actually, you know what you could do is, you know, if you go play PGA National on the way back or on the way down, you could go play Kiowa.
You know, that place misses me, Skeeter. That place misses me.
All I'm saying is if you go to Kiowa, I might just have to join you.
Well, it's a public course, Skeeter.
Okay.
I think the price has gone up since the last time I played it, though. Probably. I don't think I've played there in a long time.
Yeah, I don't know what the price of Belle Reve has gone, but I'm sure it's gone up too for the membership. But hey, you can come over here in a long and we can go play the Deer Run.
What do you say? We win some money here this week in these next couple weeks, and then we don't have to worry about those tee time prices.
That's right. Or we just go out to Vegas and play Summerlin.
Well, I think we have options here.
Or maybe once is Kapalua on Maui? Because I wonder if that's being affected by, I don't know my Hawaiian geography, if that's being affected by all the...
I don't know my islands, to be honest with you, man, so I can't answer that to you.
Fine, let's go 1-2 this week, win a few grand, and then once everything's settled in Hawaii, we go play Kapalua.
I don't think it is, right? Because they go to Maui for Waialae. I think Waialae's on Maui, and I don't think Kapalua is, but I don't know that 100%, dude.
Yeah, I don't either.
Well... Things that we can dig into before we return for a little I don't know what you want to call it, winter golf or whatever when we get back to that neighborhood.
The start of the actual season in January, right. not oh hey, it's the Tour Championship 10 days later. Oh hey, long off season, here we go.
Yeah, indeed. Well, Skeeter, I'm certainly looking forward to this week. I had a lot of fun this year with you, man, and I'm certainly looking forward to doing it again.
Yep, always a pleasure talking with you, James.
Good luck to you this week. We'll certainly be talking plenty more football as this season goes on as well, my man. So the golf content will chill for a minute, but football is still is ramping up hot and heavy, so you can catch all that fantastic action as well. For Skeeter Robinson, I'm James Adams. We wish you the best of luck this week and certainly appreciate you joining us all season long here on the Fantastics My Fantasy Fix DFS Golf Podcast.